Good morning. Nice to have you here again. As you can see, this is our topic for today, the Christian's response to Halloween. I said this last week that this was what we're going to be taking up today. And it's weird how, I don't know if you found it weird, but the text that I use is a living sacrifice. No, we're not going to sacrifice anybody here. Also, I was going to wear a costume, but doesn't really... My wife dressed me today. I look like I'm going to go to a funeral, but this is for the topic. It was for the Halloween topic. Anyways, in a couple of days, most or all of North America and some parts of the world will be celebrating, I said, the final unofficial holiday before Christmas here in Canada. But in the States, there's still Thanksgiving, right? But here in Canada, it's the final unofficial holiday before Christmas. And that holiday we call Halloween. Okay, Halloween. So my goal for this morning is to help us decide, to help you decide what to do when this holiday comes around each year. Because there's usually three responses that Christians, quote-unquote Christians, have when it comes to celebrating Halloween. Okay, there's usually three responses. There are some Christians who refuse to participate in any Halloween activities, whether it be trick-or-treating or whether it be, you know, your kids going to school and doing all the Halloween activities in schools. There are some Christians who don't even send their kids to school if it's Halloween. They know that it's just Halloween, that they're just going to watch scary movies and just eat candy all day. I'm included in that group of Christians. I don't let my kids participate. I have never let my kids participate in any Halloween activities, except for when they snuck out and participated without my knowledge, which one of my sons did once. And he got reprimanded. No, I didn't spank him for it, but I ate all his candy. Yeah, I don't. I'm in that group that doesn't let their kids participate in any Halloween activities. And then there are this other group who allows their children to participate, but they dress them up in like little angels or shepherds or little Jesus costumes, right? And some churches, they even hold Halloween counter events like hallelujah parties. We used to have that here, right? Hallelujah parties, which I don't agree with again, but I'll explain this later. I don't agree with those things, but yeah, some churches do that. We don't do that anymore, but it's churches do it to appease young children who don't quite understand why they can't go trick-or-treating like the other kids. So the church, created this Hallelujah party so that the younger kids in the church will be appeased, so that they don't look at the other kids and say, oh, how come? Why can't I go? Right? And then there's this group who go all out. Christians who go all out when it comes to celebrating Halloween. You know, they decorate their homes, make it look like haunted houses. They dress up as zombies or whatever it is that they may dress up as. They dress their kids the same way, that go all out. So there's three groups, right? The group that doesn't want to do anything, the group that does half and half, and the group that does all out. We're going to talk about those later on, but my purpose is not to force my own stand on you or how you should celebrate or not celebrate Halloween, but my purpose today is just like what our text says, as Christians, we should all be transformed. How? By the renewal of our minds. And for what purpose? So that we may be able to discern what God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is. Especially when it comes to celebrating or not celebrating this so-called holiday. Okay? So I'm not going to force my... I'm going to try to be as neutral as possible. Okay? Even though you already know my stand. I don't celebrate at all. Now, in order to do that, in order to renew our minds so that we can discern what God's good and acceptable, perfect will is for us when it comes to taking part in these Halloween activities, we need to inform ourselves. We need to educate ourselves. First, we need to educate ourselves about Halloween. What is it? Where did it start? where it originates from. And then we need to educate ourselves about what the Bible says about Halloween. And then after that, you can decide on your own, pray and decide on your own what God's will is for you and your family when it comes to this holiday. So we're going to start with taking a look at Halloween's origins. Where did it start? And most of the things I'm about to tell you, I got it through this article from Grace to You by Travis Allen, as well as some from the History Channel, some from the Smithsonian site, and a whole bunch of other YouTube videos and articles that I've come across regarding where Halloween actually started. And I wanted to get it from different sources because I wanted to make sure that this were accurate. Like everybody was saying the same thing, right? So where did Halloween start, or where did that term Halloween come from? That term Halloween came from the eve of the celebration of All Saints Day. All Saints Day, for you guys, is November 1st. So the eve of that, October 31st, is where the term Halloween came from. And who instituted this? The church instituted this. The early Christian church instituted the All Saints Day. And the eve of All Saints Day was instituted by the church. Okay. So what the church did, the church set All Saints Day as a day to remember Christian martyrs. Christians who died in service of the church, in service of Christ. And for us in the Philippines, is to remember your loved ones that passed away. So that's what the church did. Now, All Hallows Eve, the evening before All Saints Day, is when the holiday officially starts. You know, much like Christmas Eve is the beginning of Christmas, right? So All Saints Day is the beginning of, All Hallows Eve is the beginning of All Saints Day. Now, back then, the short name for All Hallows Eve was Halloween. Halloween. Or Hallow Evening. Okay? And then throughout the years, it's become what we know as Halloween. Just one word, straight. So that's where that term Halloween came from. Now, why and how did the church come up with this holiday to begin with? Why did the church come up with All Saints Day to begin with? Where did this all come from? Well, much like most of our Christian holidays, All Saints Day originated or is rooted in pagan cultures and customs or pagan festivals. Okay, the reason being was that in the early church, it was filled with a lot of pagan converts. Right? The early church was filled with a lot of pagan converts. And one of the biggest issues that the early church had back in those days was to cut off pagan rituals or holidays or festivals. Because even though these pagan converts were already Christian, they still celebrated their festivals because it was ingrained in their culture. So the church was trying to cut that off. They were trying to, you know, to have these people stop celebrating their pagan rituals and their pagan festivals. So as a solution, the church decided to Christianize some of these pagan holidays and rituals and festivals. What do I mean by that? Because the original intent of the church was to make the holiday or that festival, that pagan festival, make it distinctly Christian. So to put up an opposition to the pagan holiday that was being celebrated. Okay? So in other words, the main intent of the church was to provide a more Christian alternative to counter the pagan influence, the pagan holiday that is deeply rooted in the culture of its new converts. So in a way, what the church did was just, instead of cutting off the root of these pagan holidays and why people were celebrating it to begin with, instead of cutting that off, they just covered it up. Right? They put Christian icing on it so it would look Christian. Right? So in terms of the pagan holiday that All Saints Day represents, that's what they did. Instead of what it really is, they made it Christian by celebrating the death of Christian martyrs. Right? That's what the church did. It's like house blessings, right? You know, when I bless a home, I just usually pray for it. But there are some Christian sects who will go through some rituals in blessing the home, right? Scatter rice, salt, water, incense, they do chants, I don't know. But these are Christian sects, right? But they use rituals still because of the background of some of them. A lot of them are Catholics, and some of them, they celebrate like this. They're not celebrate, but bless a home like this, right? So instead of simply rededicating a home to God through prayer, the focus shifts because of these rituals. The focus shifts on the rituals. That for so much so that for some Christians, if there's no ritual, they don't feel like their home was blessed. They feel like there's still evil spirits in their home because we just prayed for it. We didn't light a candle or put salt in every room. And the focus becomes more of the ritual rather than just thanking God for the blessing of a home. So it's just like that with Halloween. The early church Christianized it. We celebrate it because the early church Christianized it. But really, deep down, it's the pagan roots are still there. They didn't cut off the roots. So now question is, which pagan festival or which pagan holiday did the early church Christianize to come up with All Hallows Eve or All Saints Day? Okay, which pagan holiday did the early church Christianize to come up with All Hallows Eve and All Saints Day? We'd have to go back, okay? And one of my brothers told me earlier, you could go back all the way to the fifth century, yeah, to go back to this. But based on the research that I did, you have to go back to ancient Celtic festival known as Samhain, okay? It's spelled Samhain. But it is pronounced Samhain. Okay. Samhain, okay, it says there's a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter. That's why we celebrate it on the 31st, and All Saints Day is on the 1st of November. Right? That's what Samhain is. Okay. Let's just read the whole thing. Traditionally, it is celebrated from October 31st to November 1st as the Celtic day began and ended at sunset. Samhain is believed to have a pagan origins. Okay, in the 9th century AD, Western Christianity shifted the date of All Saints Day to November 1st, while November 2nd later became All Souls Day. Over time, Samhain and All Saints, All Souls, merged to create the modern Halloween. That's where it came from. This ancient Celtic pagan festival known as Samhain. Now again, according to the article I mentioned earlier, the people back in those days, okay, celebrated Samhain in variety of different ways. There's some Celts, okay, that celebrated this season of hunting by engaging in occult practices. Why? Because they wanted to communicate with the dead. So they get their druids. The druids are their priests. They get them to pray for them so that they could communicate with the dead. Why? Because they believe that Samhain, that holiday, is when the curtain that separates the dead from the living is raised so that the dead can come back on earth and walk with the living. Okay. I know some of you are like, oh, it's the walking dead. Pretty much. That's what happens. That's what they believe, that the curtain on that day, the curtain is raised so that the dead is allowed to walk back with the living. So it goes totally against what we believe as Christians, right? As Christians, we believe when you die, that's it. You don't come back. When you go to hell, you don't come back, right? Nobody comes back from hell. In heaven, you don't want to come back because you're already in heaven, right? That's why that movie Ghost is whack. I don't know if you've seen that movie Ghost. After he died in the movie Ghost, he was supposed to, the light came on. So the heaven, that's like the symbolism of heaven. But he didn't want to go because he wanted to find out who killed him. It doesn't make sense, right? For us Christians, that's all we're waiting for. We want that light to shine and that's it. See you later. Out of here. I'm not coming back ever, right? That's why we don't believe in ghosts. But anyway, the Celts back in those days, they believed that that was the case. So they celebrated in different ways. Some of them get their priest, the druid priest, to pray for them. to pray for them and to so that they could ask their dead ancestors regarding, I don't know, weather forecasts. So they want their dead ancestors to tell them about the future. So that's what they pray. They wanted to ask them about the, you know, weather forecasts. They wanted to ask them about crop expectations, because most of them were farmers. And they wanted to ask them about romantic prospects. Does this girl like me? Please tell me, Uncle So-and-so. Right? They wanted to ask about those. There's others that celebrate Samhain that they focus on. Their focus was on death. Their focus was on occultism and divination. Why? It's to feed their ignorant superstitious and fears. These people believe that until these spirits receive treats, like an offering of possessions, like an offering of food or drink, or sometimes they even offer people, okay? When these spirits are walking the earth and they don't get treats, they would trick those who don't give them treats. Right? Or haunt those that don't give them treats. Right? That's why some occult groups, they sacrifice even people during Halloween. And the way we do it now is trick or treat. Like if you don't give them a candy, especially these rowdy teenagers right now. My house got toilet paper. That's what they do. That's the trick, because I didn't give them candy. But back in those days, the people were afraid, so afraid of these spirits that they would have to give them treats. Otherwise, these spirits would haunt them or trick them. They also believe that the spirits who trick or who haunt manifest themselves in grotesque and evil appearances. So these spirits, when they show up at your door and you didn't give them a treat, they would show up like a monster, scare you. So what did they do to defend themselves? Some people back in those days, they wore costumes. Scary costumes, monster costumes. Why? So that they would trick the spirits who are trying to trick them. They would trick them to think that I'm one of you, don't scare me. Right? That's why there's people wear costumes during Halloween. Some people don't have to wear costumes. People just get scared. Ooh. The spirits just get scared of them. It's right there. But that's what happens. That's why there's costumes. That's why people wear costumes in Halloween. So that they would protect themselves from these evil spirits that are walking around in the earth. Some believe that in order to protect themselves, aside from wearing costumes, they would carve grotesque faces into vegetables. Okay? Originally in Scotland, the Scottish people used turnips. They carve faces into turnips. Imagine that, a little turn. And they put it outside their door so that the evil spirits will see that and be warded off, that they won't come in. Nowadays, we don't use turnips anymore. We use pumpkins, right? Pumpkins. We call them what? Jack-o'-lanterns, right? But that's where it originated from. That's where it all started. So it started from this pagan holiday that where people believe that the dead can come back and walk among the living on that night, October 31st to the 1st of November. That's where the origin of the celebration of Halloween came from. It came from superstitious beliefs about ghosts and evil spirits coming back from the dead to haunt those who neglect to give them treats. And the church's response to this was to Christianize the event by turning it into a remembrance day for the saints. Meanwhile, the church neglected the actual root of the problem, which was the ongoing belief and fascination of the occult. That was the actual root of the problem. They didn't have to sugarcoat it and make it All Saints Day. They should have cut off the root and tell them that no. When we die, if you're Christian, you go to heaven. If you're not, you go to hell. No coming back. No going back. No going back. Now, the early church, instead of educating its newly converted pagan followers to the truth about death and resurrection and about evil itself, they covered it up. They covered this Samhain, this celebration of Samhain up, and made it look like, try to make it look like as Christian as they can. And that's how it got passed on to generation to generation and even now. And again, all the church did was to preserve a pagan ritual whose origins goes totally against that of Christianity. And it's still about the festival of Samhain, even though it's sugar-coated by the church. So now, how can we learn from the error, I think, of the early church? How can we learn from the error of the early church? I think we must learn the truth when it comes to evils, the evils of Samhain, and renew our minds with the Word of God to give us wisdom on how we ought to respond when it comes to celebrating Halloween or Samhain, okay, today. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about this. Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 13. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. Again, some people back in those days, they were so afraid of these evil spirits that they were willing to offer even human sacrifices. Burning sons as or daughters as an offering. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Okay? So don't get involved in these things. It's an abomination to the Lord. Ephesians 5:11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So take no part in it. Instead, expose it for what it really is. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to expose it for what it really is. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every, stay away from every form of evil. And lastly, 3 John verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. So even imitating it, don't imitate evil. So now that we know that, now that we know the origins of Halloween, now we know the activities that go along with it, now we know what the Bible tells us about it, right? Take no part in it. Don't imitate it. Expose it for what it is, right? And my niece, Lauren, she calls it the spooky holiday. Okay. I'm like, what did you do in school? Oh, we were learning about the spooky holiday. What is a spooky holiday? Halloween. Lauren, like, she knows everything. Don't take no part in it. That's what the Bible says. Now, I know some of you here can't wait for Halloween to start. Even the older people, I can't wait to go to my costume party at work. Dress up as Dracula or Captain America. Right? Some of you can't wait to dress up your kids to go out there, especially the younger kids, because I don't blame you. They look cute, right? Dress them up as little bumblebees or little dogs. Some people even dress up their dogs. right? So some of you, you can't wait to do that. Can't wait to do that. Some don't want our kids to feel left out. And that's reasonable. And then there's those parents who just does what their kids tell them to do. Right? Whatever their kids say, sure, I'll do it. I don't want you to cry. I don't want you to be sad. So yes, we'll do it. But there are some parents who just don't want their kids to feel left out. But my way I approach this is that I'd rather tell my kid the truth than have them go out and do all these things and not know the truth. Because the worst part about allowing our kids to celebrate this spooky holiday, for me, okay, the worst part about it, it's not just because it's a pagan holiday, it's a pagan festival, right? The worst part about allowing our kids to celebrate this holiday is the subtleness of our enemy in minimizing or downplaying evil in the sight of our kids. I think that's the worst part about Halloween. The downplay of evil. Like, evil is fine. Like, the kids nowadays relate the evil spirits, and they don't relate that to evil spirits. They relate it to candy, because that's what they get when it's Halloween time. They don't even think about how, oh, wow, how are these people walking around and these grotesque faces and demons walking around. They don't see that. All they see is candy. And that's how Satan operates. He's so subtle that he will deceive you. He will try to trick you into celebrating this, and not just celebrating it, but to downplay evil so that your defense against evil will not be as strong, because you're going to end up putting your shield down. You're going to end up putting your sword down because, oh, it's just a harmless family holiday. It's just about candy. It's not just about candy. I think it's Satan trying to minimize or downplay evil in the sight of our kids and in the sight of some of us. So the more we see, the more we raise our kids to see Halloween as this harmless holiday full of treats, the more they can get desensitized to the evil that is true evil that is around us. Yes, there's no ghosts, but are there demons? I believe so. There's demons right now here. No, not you as a demon, but, you know, demons trying to tempt you to fall asleep and not pay attention. Demons trying to, you know, influence your mind about this. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, next thing you know, on Wednesday, you're out trick-or-treating with your kids. But again, I'm supposed to stay neutral. I'm not staying neutral. But anyways, that's how I see this. And I think that's the worst part about Halloween and participating in Halloween, because it is Satan deceiving us. 2 Corinthians 11:14. How does Satan work? 11:14 says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." So even Satan is wearing a disguise. Why? So that he could deceive you. Like, he's good. He's an angel of light. Ezekiel 28:11-19. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Is he talking about the king of Tyre? I don't think so. I think he's talking about Satan. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Very precious stone was covering sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings." He was dressed in all these stones. "On that day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I place you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you." In 18, "When the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuary. So I brought fire out from your midst, consumed you, and I turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all who saw you." Last verse. "All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more forever." Is that the king of Tyre? I don't think so. That's Satan. But see how the description of Satan is? He was dressed nice. Jewels, rods. I mean, he looked nice. He was nice to look at. He's not going to come at you looking like a scary monster. You run away. He wants you to like him. He wants you to. That's how he deceives. That's why he made Halloween about candy. He wants to get the kids to be deceived as well. Right? Isaiah 14:12-17. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star. Son of dawn, how you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Right? Keep going. 16. "But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? So he's trying to make himself like God. Again, trying to deceive those who would be deceived. So he's packaging himself. He's packaging these ancient, you know, pagan rituals to make it look more, you know, good, more better for us, so that we would be, you know, tricked into thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think that when we talk about him as the enemy, and when we talk about spiritual warfare, this is one of the enemy's greatest schemes in order to attack Christians and destroy their faith. Again, Satan is the father of lies. He's the deceiver, and that's exactly how he has set up Halloween to be. He has packaged this to be a family-friendly activity with roots and origins coming from pure evil, pure idolatry, and rebellion against God. And the fact that Halloween has now become a consumer holiday, right? It makes it even harder for us Christians to make a stand against it. Why? Because everybody's doing it. And so when your kids see them, your kids are going to be like, how come? Why can't I dress? Right? Because it's a consumer holiday now, right? You see it. Beginning or end of September, or even beginning of September, stores change their displays to make it Halloween displays. Why? Because they want to sell candy, and the people are buying it, right? In the U.S. alone, consumers are expected to average above $80 in celebration of Halloween, right? Some of them spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars, not just on candy, but on decorations and costumes, right? They want the most realistic costumes, right? In the Philippines, no costumes. You want to be Superman? Get a towel. But here, no, they spend real costumes, right? Real masks, real everything, right? And it's a lot of money. Candies, costumes, decorations, people spend on this because people are sold, right, to the wonderful package, packaged evil that Satan has made up. But that's not even the worst, okay? What's worse is that Satan doesn't just limit Halloween to just trick-or-treating or just decorating your house. You know, when a movie comes out, like say the new Justice League, once it comes out, it's not just the movie. There's toys, t-shirts, right? Drinking cups, everything to get your money. Same thing with Satan, okay? He doesn't just limit it to trick-or-treating or decorating your house. He goes all out, right? How many horror movies are going to be out, you think? There's going to be a lot, right? And listen, I'm a horror movie fan. I like watching horror films. I'm caught up in that. I like watching it, right? Let me ask you this question. What's the highest grossing R-rated film? Doesn't matter if it's horror or whatever. What's the highest grossing R-rated film of all time? Guess. 1973, The Exorcist. Still, number one grossing R-rated movie of all time. Film released in 1973. Right now, it's still number one. A lot of people still watch it. The Exorcist. Who here has seen it? The first time I heard of it, I tried to watch it, couldn't do it. But I forced myself to watch it. I know that's wrong, but I forced myself to watch it. It's just so intriguing. But even right now, you think that people on the 31st will be watching Exorcist? Oh yeah, for sure. Because that's the subtlety of Satan, right? He wants to instill fear in our hearts, and not a fear of God, but a fear of him. A fear of the devil. And he's packaging this in what? Not just in Halloween costumes or candies. He's packaging this in movies, right? Critically acclaimed films, which until today is still being watched by a new generation of horror fans, especially on the scariest night of the year. Who here has seen the new It? Right? I read that book a long time ago, and then they released the movie in the 80s. Now they released it again. So I'm like, I'm not supposed to watch it, but let me watch it anyway. And a lot of there's a discussion on it on Desiring God, if you want to check it out. There was somebody who was for it, a Christian who was for horror movies, and the interviewer from Desiring God. It's an interesting discussion, because the Christian who watches horror movies is trying to defend, is trying to justify why horror movies ultimately is for the glory of God. Now, I don't know how, if you read it and tell me who are you, siding with. But I don't think any, I mean, again, this is my struggle. I like watching horror movies. But I don't think, even though God always wins at the end, especially in The Exorcist, what you remember from the movie is not God winning. It's mostly always the scary things. I remember when we watched Sixth Sense. You remember Sixth Sense? Okay, you guys watched it. I couldn't take a shower for like 2 weeks. Because every time I closed my eyes, I would see that lady with the cut wrists in the shower. And you can't not close your eyes in the shower. It'll burn your eyes when you soap your, So I'm like, no, I'm not taking no shower. My brother couldn't go downstairs without turning on all the lights. Because he didn't remember how, the ghosts were ultimately good. You remember the scary part. And usually that's the effect of horror movies on us. So, yeah, pray for me to stop watching these horror films. I know Pastor Luis used to like horror films as well. But God, kind of in his grace, gave him two boils underneath his armpits. He told this story before here, right? Two boils underneath his armpits so that he would stop watching horror movies. He went to all the doctors, couldn't get it fixed. It turned out it was just the horror movies. Yeah, no, it's true. But that's what it is. That's the effect. And again, this is subtlety of Satan to package evil in things that, attracts us, right? And a lot of times we bite. We go for it. Other things. It's not just movies. In the Philippines, when I was around 10 years old, my curiosity was caught by playing this board game. It's called Ouija board. In the Philippines, it's, spirit of the glass, spirit of the coin, spirit of the whatever, the spoon, the fork, whatever. right? Who has played here? Yeah. Oh, nice. Come on, man. You know you played. Oh, he's lying. I played all that stuff. And it's funny because I didn't play it to go talk to my ancient relatives. I just wanted to know who has a crush on me. That's what you play when you're kids, right? Okay, spirit, tell me who has a crush on me. Oh, look, it's moving. But that's so subtle. It looks so harmless. But again, we downplay these things, these seemingly harmless things. And the more opportunity we open up to demons to invade our hearts, invade our minds, right? Now, it may not come to in the form of possession. You may not get possessed, but it comes and manifests itself by excessive fear and excessive anxiety. I used to read a lot of Stephen King books, just like what I was telling about earlier. I stopped reading because I was having like crazy, crazy nightmares. I had this nightmare once where I was sleeping on my bed, and I told the young people this during campfire. You want to hear a scary story? Let me tell you a scary story. During camp, I would tell the young people this story. I was sleeping on my bed. This was when we were living in Mississauga. So the room, it was me and my brother in the room on a bunk bed. So my brother top bed, I'm at the bottom bed. I would sleep on my bed, and then I would wake up and see this person sitting at the foot of my bed. Couldn't see his face. Skinny old man wearing tank top, white tank top. Right? A white tank top. You know a tank top? Sando, right? Skinny, like this, sitting on my bed. Couldn't see his face. I stare at him. I thought, because my dad used to wear those white tank tops. But my dad wasn't skinny. So I'm like, it can't be my dad. So I would stare. And then he wouldn't leave. I would, when you're scared, you go under the covers, right? You come up, still there. So I would just stay under the covers. And then, usually you wait long enough, you fall asleep. So I fell asleep. I wake up. Looked at the cover. I took off the covers, and he was gone. But I was in the kitchen. Wasn't in my room anymore. I was in the kitchen. I laid back down, and right there, he was there. That was the nightmare over and over again. because of me reading all these, I think it was reading all these books, because when I stopped reading these books, I don't just watch the movies, I read the books, because I know the movies, they're not going to portray the book accurately. So you read the book, but the more you read the book, the more it ignites your imagination, and really it gets ingrained in there to a point where you're seeing things. I call it nightmares, but really people have died from these things. And I've read some news that people died from nightmares. But that's the effect of it. Okay, it may not be, you may not get possessed. Although, you know, one member of ours did get possessed because she was playing around with these things. I don't know if you remember, but somebody from here got possessed because she was playing around with, you know, divinations and tarot cards and, you know, getting her palm read and all that stuff. And so Pastor Luis came up to us and said, "Who wants to go with me to pray for Sister so-and-so?" Nobody wanted to go. You go by yourself. Because when they got there, apparently she was swearing at them. She was yelling at them. And she was, sometimes it could lead to that. But most of the times it's just excessive fear. Excessive fear, excessive anxieties. That's why when you think about spiritual warfare, it's not a game. Like Satan is always looking for ways to get to you. Kill your faith. Destroy your faith. He's always on the prowl looking for someone to devour. That's our enemy. He's always willing and able to use anything under his power to attack us. And again, his attacks are subtle. They're sneaky. So we always have to be ready for it. Usually they're packaged nicely to attract you. I think that's what Halloween is. Now, having said all that, having informed you both of the history and the theology when it comes to Halloween, how would you respond? Let me read to you the quote again, a quote from the article that we started with, and we're going to end with this. "Ultimately, Christian participation in Halloween is a matter of conscience before God. Whatever level of Halloween participation you choose, you must honor God by keeping yourself separate from the world and by showing mercy to those who are perishing. Halloween provides the Christian with the opportunity to accomplish both of those things in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a message that is holy, set apart from the world. It's a message that is the very mercy of a forgiving God. What better time of year is there to share such a message than Halloween?" And again, like I said earlier, there's generally three responses that Christians have when it comes to celebrating Halloween. First, those who abstain in any form or participation in any Halloween activity. Second, are those Christians who celebrate Halloween by dressing up as Bible characters, Christianizing Halloween for that sake, and having hallelujah parties. And third, those who go all out and decorate and dress up with costumes that fits the occasion. Now, before writing this, I was speaking to one of our members here. We were going back and forth on how to, because I was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. But if our job in this holiday is to go against what Satan's trying to do, we cannot not do anything. We can't just sit down and not do anything while everybody else is being influenced by this. So my stand, I said, therefore, my stand was to not do anything. But I think I've come to a point where maybe I should do something, but I don't want to get involved. How? Give candy. At least. Don't turn off your lights. I used to turn off my lights. Right? So at least give candy. And I was saying, telling this to some people too. When you give candy, hand out a track. Tell them that this holiday is what this is. The reality of this holiday is this. That's the least that I think I could do. If we were to have hallelujah parties, I think we shouldn't just have hallelujah parties just for the sake of having hallelujah parties. We should show them, inform the kids what Halloween is about, right? Get them educated, even though they're still young, and let them know what it is about. And then let them decide, right? Not the kids, but the parents. Let the parents decide what to do with their kids. But I am totally opposed as to just going all out, dressing up your house, and I'm totally opposed to that. But the first two options, I think, you could use to evangelize and share the gospel. You just got to think of ways how to do it. But yeah, I think just staying away from it is really not making a statement for the gospel. You're not making a statement against Halloween because you're not doing anything. So our goal is to make a statement for the gospel, even within the celebration of Halloween. So, what will you do on All Hallows Eve? How will you take advantage, or how will you try to go against Satan's scheme in popularizing Samhain as an opportunity to share the gospel? Has your mind been renewed by everything we learned today, both from history and from the scriptures? So the next step for each and every one of us is just to pray that God will give us the wisdom, how to use the knowledge that we have now, and give us wisdom to what? To see His good and perfect will on how we will choose to participate in this spooky holiday. Right? It's up to you. I don't want to enforce my own beliefs, my own convictions on you. You decide based on what we have learned today. Okay? So I don't know what everybody's going to do here. But one thing I do know, if your kids want candy from me, come knocking at my door for candy. One thing I do know is that they're going to have to wait till Christmas. I'm not going to give them candy. I'll give them candy on Christmas because I celebrate Christmas. But anyway, hopefully you'll take that with you. Run with it. Pray to God about it, what to do. And hopefully you will. God will reveal to you what His perfect will is concerning the celebration of Halloween. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.